Hello, good morning, happy Sunday to everybody. This is Bowler's Grind. I'm your host, Marshall Kennebrew. Today, Kyle Michalowski and myself are discussing nothing but two-handed bowling. We're going over the new layouts that they have in the storm bowling world, discussing that in a little bit of further detail, going over just mechanical things that are going on in my game and plans for the next week going forward. So we hope you guys enjoy this episode. Hello, hello, Kyle.
Hello.
All right, we are here. We are here in the studio talking bowling things. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing good. Ready to get back to it.
So it's been a week. I think we needed a little time off after the tragic episode that we had at the ABT team event. That was the first team event that I took place about with the ABT. They were usually like singles events or doubles events. So, Kyle, what were your thoughts on the ABT event? I'll let you go first before I kind of sulk my way through my part.
So, I bowled twice. I bowled with you, Patricia, and Cindy. We bowled the four of us, and I started off good, and then everything just went downhill as we were bowling. And then I bowled again in the afternoon, and I just couldn't do anything. Nothing looked right. My balls weren't shaping the correct way, and I couldn't line up. And it just became frustrating. I started missing spares because I was so frustrated. And I was very, very frustrated when I saw the results because we finished in seventh, and I shot 490. So that puts me at, like, we could have easily won the tournament for $1,000, and instead I finished in seventh, which still made my money back from the entry, but I also put a bunch of money in the side pots and stuff just because of I felt going into the tournament confident, but that was all shattered. And it just was a mess of things. And it left me confused. And it led into some other stuff that we'll talk about later. But I wanted to hear what you had to say about ABT before we move on.
You know, I'm gonna try to get through this as painlessly as I possibly can. But I went into this event overly confident as well. Not going to lie. Going to be totally honest and transparent here. I had it all mapped out in my head. I knew that I wasn't going to use urethane. We kind of discussed this. And on a team event, I kind of been working on my backup ball game. My spares, I shot, 80, 10 pins the Monday before the tournament. So I knew my spares were going to be on. And I thought, you know, we don't have a lefty on our team. If I can just use urethane on the left side and or reactive and or whatever I want, I can just have fun over there. If I'm 9 and sparing, maybe picking up strikes here or there, I could be the hero. I could be, you know, best teammate in the world. That's kind of how I had it planned out in my head. Show up, warm-ups, you know, through both sides. Left side, I felt fine. Like, there was no nervousness in me about it. So again, felt great. Knew that any spare that was there, I was going to just confidently pick it up. And then I just didn't strike. And it was that part was, you know, talk about frustrations. To go an entire game and to pick up, I think I picked up 7 or 8 spares in one game. I was pretty happy with that. But I had 0 strikes. And to look up my score and to go, I don't have a plan from this. You know, I used a reactive. It was the Rogue Motive. Is that what it's called? Motive Rogue?
Assassin?
Rogue Assassin, I think that's what it's called. It's a motive. It's a blue motive. And I was using it, and again, I would say 80% of the time I was hitting the pocket and I felt, I thought I had a path. And then just the back end would do something funky and it would just like directly go right to the head pin, leave me with eight, leave me with a split. And I'd be like, what is going on? And I was fighting myself because I knew I had a game plan. But then I also was like, well, you could just go do it this way now. If this isn't working, scrap it. So I was trying to find out when that scrap point would be. I held on way too long, a full two games. I've never bowled back up two straight games in a tournament, let alone a sport pattern tournament with a team, eight bowlers on the lane, lot to think about, lot going on. Probably not the best time to try that out. Maybe I should have tried it out on a house shot tournament, give myself a little bit more free hook to the pocket. So in retrospect, that'll probably be the last time I use backup in a tournament like that without having as much sport pattern practice. It's a lot easier, you know, heading over to Sunset or the Wildfire and striking on those versus a sport pattern. So that was my takeaway. I know Patricia did really well. I know you did really well game one, and then game two, game three, you kind of just stopped striking, is what it looked like. And Cindy, she was having her struggles as well. She had one or two kind of good games, but then it was just, you know, hit or miss, you know. That's what the sport pattern will leave you with a lot of. If you're not doing the exact same thing over and over again, you're just going to struggle. And just to conclude my game three, I decided just to say I have to post something better than a 145 or whatever I was bowling. So I bowled to the right side and I used a pearl and I shot like a 180. So at least I slightly redeemed myself in my brain, but that was my moment where I said, we're going two-handed from this moment forward. It's time to stop playing games. And yeah, that's what happened.
All right. And then, so moving on from that, I wanted to go into what I found out after the ABT, because I went to my pro shop and was just like, I
Which
can't.
pro shop do you use?
Sun at Sunset Station, Strike Zone, the Bowler's Mart, I see Casey Shepherd.
Okay.
And so I go in there and I'm like, Casey, I can't get a good look on house anymore. And I feel like I've been bowling so bad lately. And his press was down, so we couldn't do anything. Actually, both of his presses were down, so we couldn't drill anything. So I was like, well, we're just sitting here and he can't do anything and nobody's coming in because they can't drill bowling balls. So I was like, so I found the video, like, so someone posted it in the USBC Bowlers discussion forum on Facebook in that group. They posted something about it being the end of one-handed bowling or something, which I thought was hilarious. But they posted the video of the 2LS layout system, which I've been trying to get any info about. And it's literally an hour and a half long seminar about all the whole layout system of how they're doing two-handed layouts on tour with the two-handed bowlers right now. After, and this takes into account that weight holes are gone. So now they have changed it basically. I'm going to give a quick rundown. This isn't perfect or exactly what they meant, but basically with your pin, when you have no thumb in the ball, your pin, and you have your pin right above your fingers, it's like having your pin right above your thumb in a one-handed bowling ball, because you're normally when you release it one-handed, your thumb comes out and then your fingers spin it. So your thumb's going around where your fingers are, and it's basically a weight hole at that point, and it's creating that imbalance, which makes the ball hook correctly down the lane, and it does the actual thing that it's supposed to do when you're trying to get the ball to shape. Which, yes, you can get it to shape without all the holes and stuff, but it's a lot less desirable shape. That's why the weight hole rule was put in place, because it caused such a big advantage, especially for the two-handers, because they made the balls create so much shape and made things so much more customizable that people were able to do all kinds of stuff. And then when they removed that, it just made things lock in place. Everything had to be more tip top in shape. But the only person who had a two-handed layout system was Mo Pinnell, which he said to put pins higher, but he didn't ex go super high. Whereas like the Storm one right now is going like way higher, and like it has the exact way to put the layout on. So they're basically doing it based on their old layout system, but they're adding a couple arcs. So on the Storm layout system, instead of drawing lines like the dual angles, they're drawing arcs around the bowling ball. So they do like a kind of like a prosect thing, and they draw like a half circle around the ball and follow it around. And then they draw like five of those. And one is like your pin to center grip, which is the one that is the big difference in shape for two-handers, because when you have the pin so close to your fingers, you're basically making the ball weaker. It's basically like you're pinned down, even though you're not drilling a pin down layup. And so it creates the ball motion to be very sporadic. It either goes 100 feet and then hooks, or it goes 100 feet and does nothing. And it's very hard to read which one it's going to do, unless if you have defined friction. And the problem is, when you have defined friction, like a house shot, it just pings off of it every single time you throw it there. So you have to try to move in, but then you move in and it goes 100 feet and you can't strike with that. So the new system makes it so that the balls actually have an asymmetrical property when you put the fingers in. So symmetric balls have the asymmetrical property, and then the I'm pre they didn't go over like asymmetric balls in the video, but I'm pretty sure the asymmetric balls have an even stronger asymmetric property and create the ball to be stronger, which going into the results of when we did the balls, because later on Casey had a two-hander camp with Mark Baker, Anthony Simonson, Kyle Troop, Chris Sloan, and Chris Vai, and they had even Timmy Mack and Sean Ryan. And Timmy Mack and Sean Ryan are doing all the layouts for the two-handers on tour, and they're helping them out. And basically, Casey had a conversation with and was also thinking about me and asked a few questions about like pitches and then all this stuff. And so we went over, and I came back, I think it was Wednesday, or it might have been Thursday. Either way, it was one of the days this week. I drilled and we got my balls plugged, and then we drilled three balls of mine that we plugged up and with the new layout system. And we went out and practiced on the lane. And it's been a long time since I've seen my ball start making shapes like it was, but it was literally like defined shape. Like it wasn't like it was like just hitting friction and going. It was just like the ball was doing it itself. It was getting going and starting itself. And then the friction helped it along to keep going. But it was more the ball was actually doing what it was supposed to be doing versus just waiting for friction and screaming down lane till it hit something. And so as we were practicing and we saw the shape, I was able to do all kinds of stuff. Eric Hatchett actually called me while I was practicing. It was like, "Hey, dude, the pattern is there's a pattern on the lane that you're bowling on to practice." And I was like, "Oh, I hope that isn't what's causing my balls to make this shape." And so I was like really excited about it, but going out of it, I had a little concern because it was on a pattern like that, and the pattern was like 38 feet, that it wasn't gonna shape when I go to anything longer or something. It was just because the pattern was shorter. And so I was like, I decided that because I originally wasn't gonna bowl, and I decided I felt better about everything going into that, with going out of that practice, that I went and decided to bowl the LVBT doubles at Sunset Station. I got the confidence from the practice, and so I felt like I could bowl pretty well with the new balls. So I went and bowled the LVBT doubles, and I knew that I wasn't going to be amazing off the rip because I had to see the shapes and know what to how to make the moves off the stuff. And so there was an issue that prevented me from scoring higher, which was basically redrilled the three bowling balls, which was the RSTX1, the Idol, and the Zen. And so at the LVBT doubles, we were bowling on USBC blue pattern, and it was 39 feet. And so it was close to the one that we just that I was bowling on, but when we were bowling on it was definitely not as crisp on the back end. The ball wasn't hooking like crazy. And so I was throwing like the Idol and the RST at first, and they were kind of like wishy-washy, and like they were really, really lazy down lane. And so I was like, okay, so if these layouts are working, that means if I move to the Zen, it'll look a lot better. And I threw the Zen from the same spot, and it hooked and went high. And I was like, okay, so that means I was correct. That was what was happening. The RST and the Idol were just too strong, and the Zen was what was later down lane, but it was like an out of bounds to the right. And so I was trying to play the middle for a little bit, and it wasn't working. And then, so I kind of got through game one with a 180. I think I had a split or so to make it prevent me from shooting a decent score. And then I start moving. I moved to the next pair, and I moved right. And I was like, okay, well, the out of bounds is preventing it, so I should be able to play there, and it should still shape off of there. And so I started throwing the Zen right there, and it looked good, and I was just shooting from there. And basically, I had a really good look with the Zen, and then I got through a full game, shot 224 with a open in the 10th. Could have shot 250 if I punched out, but I left a baby split and only got the three pin. So from there, I was like, okay, well, maybe I can switch up to the idle when, since it's going high now. When I switched to the idle, it still was just way too lazy, even though I'm playing straighter and further right. It was like, okay, so I have a problem here. I have a hole in my arsenal, which makes sense because I only drilled three balls, but it's a big hole because the RST and the Idol were just dead, like basically rolled out before they even got there, couldn't make a shape or anything. So I needed a ball in between the Idol and the Zen to round out my arsenal. And that would have allowed me to score really well at this tournament. But unfortunately, I did not have more than three balls redrilled. So.
I'm going to talk a little about a couple different things. I'm going to keep it short. Like I have two, three bullet points. And my first one, feel free to respond, tell me your thoughts and just things that I'm going through and things that I'm witnessing. But like, I've gone from in a year and a half going from no thumb. I've messed around a little bit with traditional, and now I'm in the two-handed bowling world. So a lot of the things that you're talking about are applying to me with the new ball motions and the new systems at the Storm layout. So basically, I want to kind of get a ball like that for me and get a layout like that for me so I can really kind of partake in what you're talking about. Because again, all the balls that I have currently, you're going to laugh at this, 90% are drilled for other people. I've bought them as good deals. I figure out where it rolls to get to the pocket, and then that's where I'll stand initially to throw that ball. So I find balls that work for me. Now I really want to get like into the schematics of like what applies to a two-handed bowler and what applies to me. So things that I'm witnessing from bowling two-handed in just a week, I have a lot more control. I can get the ball where I want it to go. Even if it doesn't hit the pocket correctly on the right side, it has enough revs on it and ball speed now that it kind of just blows up the pocket. And the only downside I have is just I really can't think of any at the moment. You know, honestly, like I have to get lower. It requires more athleticism, I would say, than bowling no thumb. I to get the proper like lift and to get low enough to get it to project it out, my body's not used to that yet, and that's kind of why I wanted to work my way into it. But I think, you know, building the mental muscle and doing it through repetition over the course of this fall, I think that's where I'm going to be going forward. And it's going to suck for a little bit just to get my legs stronger. But, you know, one thing I want to talk about is just efficiency. So 2 weeks ago or in the summer, bowling league, right? You know, it might take 4 hours, 30 minutes to commute there and back, get ready, warm up. Bowl your league, 4 hours, you're getting in three games on a house shot. And, you know, in an hour, I got almost nine games, sport pattern practice. I really needed to learn the spare game. So I
Yeah.
just did four games, spares, ten pin, ten pin, ten pin, seven pin. And believe it or not, doing the spares made me kind of feel comfortable shooting the strikes. And that was just one day. And one day I shot nine games. And I just feel like the efficiency that you can get work done. If you want to bowl a league for the fun of it, great. But it's almost like don't treat league as a way to get better. Like when people say, oh, yeah, I shot my spares at league today. It's like, that's not practice. You know what I mean? Or that's just showing up and doing whatever is in front of you. Like I think drill work and actually like forcing out bad habits is where you have to be if you want to become a better anything. And I can't tell you how many times in that first 30 minutes of me bowling on the sport two-handed where I threw it in the gutter. I throw one good shot, throw it in the gutter. Throw one good shot, throw it in the gutter. And it just reminded me that when you're on a sport pattern, you do not have the free hook. You don't have that just barrier that's going to save your ball on a bad shot. Make you look like a hero. So it really frustrated me to the point to where I said, okay, stop throwing it in the gutter. And I think it's one of those moments where it's like you need that negative reinforcement to tell you, hey, you're doing something wrong. And a lot of times in league, you don't have that. You know, I've shot plenty of bad shots that struck and I go, whoops. And, it was frustrating, embarrassing for the first 30 minutes, throwing in the gutter. But I had that aha moment. I was telling Kyle about that. I messaged him. I said, about 45 minutes in, I said, ah, okay, this is what it should feel like. That's the out of bounds. Don't do this. Do this more. So that was my takeaway from two-handed. I don't know if you got a chance to take a look at it. I know you've been bowling two-handed way longer than me. But feel free to let me know what your thoughts are, Kyle, on that.
Yeah, I thought it was, it honestly looked really, really good for what I've seen from you. It allowed you to do a lot more, and it allowed you to put yourself in a finishing position, which is a lot similar to more pros that you see on TV, where it's like with your one-handed game, it's a little harder for you to get like similar finishing position to Tom Doherty and stuff like that, because of how your swing kind of works. It like kind of you're along for the ride, whereas when you went two-handed, it looks more like you're in control of the ball and you're making the ball do what you want instead of the ball just dragging you along with gravity, because you don't have anything but your two fingers in it and nothing to support it. It looks like, objectively, you're able to eliminate the issues that you've been having, like the overhooking and the lack of speed. And I think it looks pretty good. And I don't know if you also practiced it, but I think it'll allow you to do your backup even better doing it two-handed versus doing it with the one hand.
You know, I've seen that from you and Simonson and a lot of other two-handers. Like, I've never tried it, but you know, challenge accepted. You'll definitely be seeing clips of that in the near future. But for the most part, like, no, everything you're saying is true. It feels very comfortable. But again, like I'm not gonna lie to you, my left butt cheek, it hurts, and I had to like stretch it out and do some yoga today. And I'm going to go to the gym after this and get a little cardio session in. But like, you know, again, I've kind of almost used two-handed as a way just to get in better shape, you know, and they say that bowlers are athletes. It's a sport. So I'm treating this as a way to just kind of really break myself down as a bowler athlete and say, okay, where are my weaknesses? Where are my strengths? And how can I improve? And if there's anything you see in my game, I trust your game, my man. Let me know. I want to throw that ball you have, or just like I said, I have some balls that I can kind of redrill. So I want to see what that looks like. And as far as two-handed goes, hold on, I think there was one other thing I wanted to talk about. Different hand positions. Yeah, that's right. So it's hard to really talk about it while not being able to see it. But I noticed that a lot of two-handers, they say they're playing the inside of the bowling ball. And I started noticing it more as they brought it back, like Pat, is it Packy Hanrahan? Is that his name? And certain other two-handers, I've been just watching when they bring the ball back, and it's almost like he's a lefty, so it's inverted. But for a righty, you have to have your thumb in such a position to get underneath it. Even Oscu Palermo, I've been watching him a lot too. He gets his ball so pre-twisted before he even starts his walk, that essentially that's where it's at, is that pre-coil. It's coiled, that's the right word. And I never did that as much when I was doing no thumb. When I was doing no thumb, I would plop it forward more, just like plop. And I would play the angles. I was told Kyle about this too. I would play the arrows more direct. So if I was playing second arrow, I would almost throw it right up the 10 board through the second arrow, and there's just no shape to the ball. It's just rolling forward, plopski to the head pin. And sometimes it would strike, sometimes it wouldn't. But I started kind of getting like underneath and like coiled with the ball and kind of getting around it more. And I started noticing, like, you know, instead of throwing to your target, like I said, if you can kind of really release it from within and get it to roll at the right axis tilt to your arrow, way different result as far as the back end. And you know, two hand, that extra push, it gets it past the fronts. I swear, like once you just find your area, I was just using urethane, and once I found my area, I was like, man, I would never move from this spot. Now, that's probably not true. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure after a while using that urethane in the same spot, you're gonna have to move left or You tell me, what would be the move if
So
it, go ahead.
I have like I said, with the new layout system, my volleyballs haven't been doing what they're supposed to be doing. So I urethane was the one thing that still worked, even though the layouts weren't good. But the problem I always ran into is that urethane would start hooking a ton, and I would just try to throw it through it because you can't really move left with urethane. At least most of the time, you can't. I think with the new layout system, I'll be able to move a little left and play a little bit of angle with urethane, but that's yet to be determined. But I've seen a two-hander shape urethane before, and I feel like I'll be able to with the correct layout. But in terms of that, like, urethane keeps going and it'll stay still, but eventually it burns a spot. And when it burns that spot, you're gonna know it because the ball is just gonna hook.
So typically when that spot's burned for you, when you're using urethane, what's your move?
Currently it's just to stop throwing it.
Stop throwing it and then maybe play to that hold.
Yeah, switch to reactive, move in a little bit, and use the line. You'll have friction to the outside and the push to oil from the urethane to the inside. As long as you play like near where you were with the urethane, you'll probably have to be like 5 boards inside of it, and it'll look really good. And you'll have that hold from the urethane, especially when you're bowling two-handed. And it really makes it so you have a lot of miss room. You basically created your own house shot on a sport shot.
So let me ask you this then. Like, is this insane? Like, this is a thought that wouldn't make any sense. If I have a pin down pitch black, and that is like my go-to straight up inside the second arrow, like first arrow, second arrow, that general area, that ball's money for me. If it's then starting to hook and I want to move left, would it be time to then use the purple hammer and just use that 1-2 punch to control the right side of the lane? Would that make any sense? Or because you've already burnt up that area, it'd be better than to then move left, use reactive play to it. What do you think?
So, two things. One, what happens for you may not be the same that happens for everybody. So, that's something you have to play with. And two, the idea is correct, but until you actually try it, it may not be valid because maybe the purple hammer actually reads earlier and for some reason just bails off. Or maybe it's so much down lane that it hooks instantly, as soon as it sees the friction from the pitch black.
Okay. So I just got to mess around with them a little bit because right now, man, it's for me, it's pitch black and I haven't figured out that purple hammer yet. It's really strong. It almost, I don't want to say it reads early, but it just has a strong back end. And
Well, urethane is always reads early, and that's why it's so smooth because it's the earliest hooking ball in the bag. It reads the front part of the lane always. That's why you'll see people playing urethane when there's an out of bounds, even though if you threw reactive to that same spot, it would go in the gutter.
yes, you know that is one thing I did notice. I started off with the trend, and I was standing at like I don't know 35 board, trying to swing the whole lane. Man, shoo, right into the gutter a couple times. And I said, "Well, not doing that today." And that's when I grabbed the urethane and changed up that game plan because that ball was way too shiny for all that oil.
And that's where I think some of these new layouts are going to be come in handy for me because it's been like I've been having to take guesses in the dark, basically just throw a dart wherever it lands. That's what I do because it just like everything's been like consistently the same problem, but I don't know how to answer it because the balls were not doing the right things.
Well, I mean, this is a part of the sport in any sport, right? I mean, like you gotta tinker with things, try things, and that's why, like, again, for me, someone that has done literally every tournament in the book that has been in my general area that I could bowl in. I felt like a lot of times I'd be competing, you know, because I'm an athlete, I like to compete, but I also felt like I had a lot of mechanical like problems. My right foot would fly up literally to the, like, if someone was like a 5 foot tall person, I could kick them in the head. Like, I don't know why my right foot would fly up that high. My left arm would fling out. I would throw spares in the gutter. I saw it, like, I knew, like, I was like, I got to clean up my game, because it wasn't like, it was just mechanical errors. And again, believe it or not, two handed, it's almost like it makes me be, by being lower, it fixes everything. My right foot goes down. My left arm doesn't fly up. It stays low and right by my thigh. And yeah, man, I'm hoping that tinkering with this at the right time is going to be the right decision for me, because for the longest time, using 14s, then going up to 15s, then learning the spare game and like getting a plastic ball. Like, so there's been so many additions to my game that I remember the very first time, I'll show you a video that I ever tried throwing like a plastic ball two-handed, because I thought like, oh, let me see. I see this guy throwing it two-handed. That looks so bad, so bad. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to put a little compilation together, because every little addition to my game has led to this. Now, there's going to be a lot more additions to go to keep it, you know, improving. And that's what we're doing right now. You with your layouts, the different, you know, pitches, all these different things, shoes, they all matter. And until you finally say, no, I need all these things, you know, these are the things that help me be successful. Exploring is half the fun. And that's how I look at the game of bowling. You know, it not only is it always being updated and modified, which means you're going to have to keep up to date with different things, but at the end of the day, hard work is what gets you where you want to be by applying the knowledge that's out there. You know, there's plenty of videos, there's plenty of tutorials, but if you just go to league and then say, well, I missed a bunch of spares today, that's bowling. Nah, that's not bowling. That's your definition of bowling. So hopefully we can redefine what bowling means to us by going about it our way.
I totally agree. I definitely want to do about the same thing, clean up spares, try to get some of my physical errors in check. But I definitely feel way more confident than I felt this last week going into the future with my bowling game. And I think you hopefully have too, and I hope that we can start making people scared when we come to tournaments instead of being like, oh, it's just them.
Well, you know, and it's one of those things that, like, I feel way more confident every time I show up to the bowling alley. And I think that is something that you can hang your hat on and say, I'm headed in the right direction. Whereas a lot of people, they're not putting in the time, they're not putting in the work. So at least you can hang your hat on that you got the sweat and the tears in your bank, and that you can always count on those to push you forward. And sometimes that's enough to keep you going to the gym. I'm going to the gym right after this. It's 9:53. We're about to finish recording. I'm going to edit it while I'm on the freaking elliptical sweating because my butt hurts from bowling. But again, I could go out and do anything else I want to do in Las Vegas, Nevada tonight, but I choose not to, because I want to get to practice and bowl on Monday and work on my spare game and not complain about being sore. So a lot of times these goals and things that we want to do, you say you want to scare people. Well, that looks a lot like sacrifices on a Saturday night. So I'm here, you're here, we're talking about it. Sometimes talking and doing is just enough. And I think that's the process that we're in. So I'm for it. I think we covered everything we wanted to talk about this week. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Nope. It's just time for us to get back on the bowler's grind.
Cool, man. All right. Well, you have a good Saturday. It was good talking to you. I think the next time we're going to do this about a week or so. Is there any tournaments coming up?
There probably is, but I have to work next weekend, so I'm just going to be practicing.
Good stuff. Well, we'll keep up with the practicing. I'm going to be going live probably Monday night. If you want to join me, we'll do spares, and we'll see you guys online. See you guys then.
All right. Good night.
Later. Hey guys, just want to say thank you again if you took the time to make it all the way through to the end of the podcast. We are just trying to work on our games, but at the same time share the information that we're learning about our games with those that care about bowling, and hopefully that may apply to you guys as well. So if you guys find this information informative, please let us know on Facebook. It really means a lot. It kind of gives us ideas of what we want to talk about next. And feel free to give it a like or share on whatever platform you follow it on. The more likes we get, the more traction and the more it can grow. Right now we're getting about 50, 60 listens per episode, and the goal is to get it about 100 by the end of fall. So we're going to be doing some giveaways, some fun things in the next couple of months or so. But in the meantime, just want to see if we can do it organically, see if we can have you guys help in that endeavor. Appreciate you guys. Hope you guys have a great weekend.